Broadcaster and comedian Robin Ince incorporates a great deal of science into his comedy, quoting from Carl Sagan, Charles Darwin and Richard Feynman, among others, in his sets. I asked him if he felt science could find a home at music festivals.
Well, I think it's all moving on a lot now. I mean, I think you go back a few years and most music festivals were only two tents, and now if you come to somewhere like Glastonbury or Latitude or Best of All, the Secret Garden, they've got lots of, you know, they've got spoken word and they've got other kind of poetry and they've got stand-up, and also that are these great things which are breaking out where someone will say, do you want to go into a maze or into a forest and explain something to people? So I think probably Glastonbury is quite a tough one because it is so enormous. But I can see that happening. I mean, I hope, and for the show that I do on Radio 4, Infinite Monkey Cage with Brian Cox, we're already talking about trying to do it at Glastonbury next year, taking over a comedy tent, and I think that would work really well. And I think also sometimes now people, there's so much music, they want to break, and it's nice to be able to sit down and allow ideas to waft over you. And also waft into you as well. If they just waft over you, it's a disaster.
It's probably not premature to say that you're one of a front line of people who are bringing science into popular culture. But at Glastonbury, it's a festival of performing arts. Do you think science actually has a place?
I think science could easily exist at the Glastonbury Festival. I think you could start like with the poetry spoken word tent that was very small a few years ago. It's got bigger and bigger. And I think if you started just by having, say, 3 hours a day in one of the tents that became the science, I think people now, due to things like the Wonders of the Solar System and obviously the Year of Darwin, I think was a great way of getting things out and people getting more and more into that. And obviously with CERN and all of these things that are going on, people are really interested. And I think they would come. If you put someone in a tent, if you had Brian Cox in a tent or Simon Singh or Olivia Judson doing one of her pieces about the sex life of animals, people would be interested, they'd come.
There's a lot of people here talking about the politics of issues that have at their heart a scientific problem. Water aid are here, clearly the issues of clean water and sanitation. It's a scientific problem. Do you think there's too much focus on the politics?
It's very difficult when you say is there too much focus on the politics. What we need to do, I think, is to educate the people actually and the charities to get the science ideas out there. I mean, I did something at Climate Camp yesterday, and obviously, you know, man-made climate change is a very big issue, and unfortunately, due to the nature of the media, we have a country where it seems to be 50-50 in terms of people who believe in it and people who don't. And mainly it's arts graduates writing in newspapers saying it's all rubbish with no scientific backing. So to work out a way of making palatable science communication about major issues is a very important thing to do. And I think somewhere like here, if people could find out more than just the political angle and these children dying, and to actually get these are the solutions. Because that's the great thing science gives, is science doesn't merely say, look at the faces of the starving or the collapse of infrastructure and the biosphere, basically, all of these things. Science goes, and if we do this, so it doesn't become a negative thing. Often I think some of these charities, it is driven by the negativity and the tragedy. But to also go, and as well as giving money, not only will we be able to create this, but if we get enough money, we can start really to work out a solution.
Do you think there's a risk of alienating people if you push the politics before the science?
When you watch something like Carl Sagan's, there's clips on the internet of Pale Blue Dot, where he muses on this, you know, mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. I think even if people just realised how tiny we are and that we are here suspended in this obscure part of a not particularly impressive galaxy, that immediately gives you a focus on going, yeah, this is, we've got one attempt on this, on kind of getting it right. We're this tiny little lump of rock. We are, every time that you think that there is no other known life as yet in the universe, we are the only example that we know of life in the universe. This makes it a very precarious thing. Why is the other, shall we say, 8 or 9 planets, whichever you prefer, in our solar system, why do they appear to have no traces of life on them? And why, when we ventured out further into the galaxy, why are we not picking up any sense of life? That means it's not often happening. And I think just to even focus, anyone who hasn't ever watched the Carl Sagan Pale Blue Dot clip that's on YouTube should look at it, because I think that gives you more focus than, 100 marches.
When you first started weaving science into your comedy sets, it was mainly focused on scepticism. What are the things that are catching your interest now?
Well, now I'm trying to explain. I mean, I started off obviously by talking about psychics and homeopathy and kind of bunkum New Age things. And now I'm trying to focus more and more on the actual beauty of the ideas within science. So when you look at DNA and the system of replication and how the mutation, yeah, that to me is a very exciting thing. The moment that you think that every single human being and every single living thing on this planet is a mistake. I always like thinking that the great thing about DNA replication is it's cack-handed. By being cack-handed, we have thumbs, we have eyes, we have ears, we have all of these things, and other beasts can see colours that we can't see, and you look at a tree and you think of the history of the tree that's led to that. And so I'm trying to talk more and more about the passion behind it, rather than the negative side of going, it's a great pity that a lot of people believe in something with no rationalism or empiricism behind it.
And just lastly, have we just had a Glastonbury exclusive that we should expect Brian Cox here next year?
Well, I think Brian Cox will be on the pyramid stage. He will actually be suspended like a mote of dust in a sunbeam. And it's quite incredible, actually. I was with Brian Cox at the Cheltenham Science Festival, and it has now, since the last time we hung out anywhere in public like that, people just, you know, they'd go, it's Brian Cox, go, you know, and as a rock star, he never became a famous rock star. He's realised that physics should have always been the route to being the famous rock star, and I think what he does is fantastic. It is very much in the tradition of things like Carl Sagan's Cosmos, which was a great influence on him. People watch Wonders of the Soul System and they do go, wow. And that's the great thing about science. There is, I don't like using that term, wow factor, but there is. Every day there's something I read, or there's something I look at, or just looking at the sky or the sun, and I think, this is incredible. And this is what we need to instill into society. It really is absolutely wonderful that life exists in so many different ways, and what a pity that the one beast that has learned to live by altering the landscape may well be something that destroys, well, doesn't destroy the landscape. I mean, as George Carlin said, whenever we talk about we don't want to kill the earth, we won't kill the earth, we might kill ourselves, but there'll be other creatures that will still exist. It's just that they might not have self-consciousness. Maybe self-consciousness is a glitch.
Robin Ince explaining why he finds science so inspirational.